Leaders.
International law. Lawfare versus warfare. The war crimes case against the leaders of Israel and Hamas is flawed.
The Gaza war is a diplomatic disaster for Israel, a military quagmire and a human tragedy. In has stepped Karim Khan, prosecutor of the International Criminal Court, or ICC, who has accused Israeli and Hamas leaders of war crimes. He believes he's creating moral clarity, asserting the primacy of international law, and thereby delivering justice. On all three counts, he is likely to be disappointed. On May 20th, Mr. Khan asked ICC judges to issue 5 arrest warrants. 2 target the brains behind Hamas's atrocities, Mohammed Daif and Yahya Sinwar, holed up in Gaza. A 3rd is for Ismail Haniyeh, its political chief, who is in Qatar. Mr. Khan also asked for warrants for Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel's prime minister, and the defense minister, Yoav Gallant, whom he accuses of inflicting starvation, murder, and extermination. The gravity of the claims and the fact that some countries dispute the legitimacy of the ICC make it essential that its prosecutor should meticulously calibrate his accusations and follow due process. Instead, Mr. Khan has pursued maximal claims against the 2 Israelis and short-circuited procedure. The Economist believes Israel has very probably breached the laws of war by failing to meet its obligations under the Geneva Convention of 1949 to provide food and medicine to civilians under its occupation, to the fullest extent of the means available to it. After October 7th, several ministers also threatened retribution and collective punishment. However, it is a leap to go from this to asserting there is an intentional, systematic, criminal scheme to starve civilians. That is the jump Mr. Khan's allegations make, and as a result they are both more serious and contestable. Mr. Khan has stretched procedure by requesting charges against the 2 men. He is right that the ICC has jurisdiction, because although Israel is not a party to the ICC statute, the Palestinian territories are. However, the ICC should prosecute only when states are unwilling or unable to do so genuinely. Israel is a democracy with an independent judiciary. Its Supreme Court is hearing a petition on aid to Gaza. Were the government to fall, as is likely, its successor would probably appoint a judge-led commission of inquiry into the war. These mechanisms may ultimately fail, and have sometimes failed in the past. But Mr. Khan cannot simply bypass them. Israel must have a chance to prove that this time they will work. The charges against the Hamas bosses and the Israelis are formally separate, but Mr. Khan has chosen to wrap them up in a single package. His request for warrants against Hamas could have come soon after October 7th, but he delayed for nearly 8 months. He argues that his actions show how all 5 men are equal before the law, but bundling them together also signals that democratically elected leaders whose state has been attacked belong in the company of terrorists. The best explanation for Mr. Khan's approach is that he believes that for international law to be seen as more than a tool of the West, he had to be seen to intervene and be willing to prosecute both sides. But even if the judges issue warrants, they are unlikely to try the cases because all 5 men are beyond the reach of ICC signatories. At some level, the ICC works by consensus, which means it must navigate international politics. Support for it around the world is already fragile. America, China, and India are not parties. Russia withdrew in 2016 and wants to discredit it because President Vladimir Putin has been indicted. Now America has said it has no confidence in this latest flawed request for warrants. President Joe Biden called it outrageous, and Antony Blinken, Secretary of State, said he will consider imposing sanctions on the court. There are silver linings. Mr. Sinwar and Mr. Haniyeh may be excluded from a future Palestinian state's government, which would probably be a signatory to the ICC. although a divided Israel has united around Mr. Netanyahu, which does not help peace today, the episode may eventually weaken him because it shows his disastrous strategy has unnecessarily exposed the country to ignominy and legal risk. A change of Israel's government is essential to reset the war and open a path to peace. It is politics and diplomacy, not courts, that are the key to curbing violence and reviving two-state talks.